de-escalate, the United Kingdom, Germany, and many others are asking Kosovo to de-escalate the situation. But from the looks of it here, the amount of people that have turned out, it doesn't seem like it's going to happen. Now, the Kosovan authorities have said that they have a right and an obligation to hold up the constitution, that these mayors did win an election, even though it was boycotted by the Serb population in these areas. And the police are now have the shields out, they have the gas masks out, they've already confronted the protesters, and NATO forces are also out. Now, we don't know what their mandate is. Earlier on, they did have a line further up the street, but people walk straight past them. Now they have a line in front of the municipality building, and the local police, the Kosovan police, are behind them. But the NATO officials have been speaking to some of the Serb politicians here, and they've asked them to de-escalate and asked them to tell the crowd to move off the street. And the response that we heard was that if you ask these people to move from this area, it will definitely not de-escalate the situation. Asad Beg, Al Jazeera, Kosovo.
President Recep Tayyip Erdogan is starting his third term in office after beating Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu in the runoff on Sunday. He won more than 52% of the vote, and that's been described as one of the most important and closely contested in decades. Let's get more on this from Sami Zidane, who's following events for us from Istanbul. And Sami, let's just begin with the sort of the number of challenges ahead for President Erdogan. The list is long.
Right, the list is long and the list is challenging itself, not least of which you could start with the economy, the state of the economy here, something that's on the minds of many, if not all Turks, when you just go to the shops and look at prices, how much they've been rising over the last few months, even years. Well, inflation is, by the last monthly count, was around 40-something percent. Now, authorities would argue that's down from a peak of over 80% in October of last year. But that's still relatively high, and you feel the difference just in the few weeks that go by. You see prices go up, and it takes a bite out of people's pockets. So no doubt, President Recep Tayyip Erdogan will have to think of something to try and get that under control. You heard him in his speech last night, his victory speech, arguing that, hey, we know how to get inflation under control. We've done it before. We'll do it again. But the question, when you put it to some of the orthodox economists, they say, how long can the central bank go on propping up the lira, which is the price that the economy is paying when the lira weakens? And we saw that actually after the election result was announced, the lira did weaken to the dollar, and the central bank trying to prop it up by selling its reserves. Well, we got the news just a few days ago that it's dipped into negative territory. How long can that go on for? So that's something that's going to require his attention. There's the issue, of course, of the fallout of that earthquake which hit this country back in February and March, the series of earthquakes. Now, the government has promised that it's going to rebuild and rebuild soon. Homes, entire cities will be rebuilt, in some cases relocated. So a lot of expectations are going to be high there for Recep Tayyip Erdogan to deliver. And you've got to remember also the question of divisiveness. According to the Organization of Security and Cooperation in Europe, they just released a statement a few hours ago noting that both sides used an extremely divisive campaign rhetoric during the campaigning for these elections. And if you just look at the results, it's clearly, with such a high turnout and such a close call between the two candidates, it's clear indication of a very divided public.
Sahil. Indeed, Sami, I mean, elections in any democracy never really end. But one wonders, where does the opposition go now and what's their next goal?
That's a big question. And already we're starting to see some of the key figures within the opposition camp perhaps addressing that. One figure would be the mayor of Istanbul, who is from the opposition, from the main opposition party, CHP. And he's been talking several times since the election results come out. He's been talking about change, and he's actually called for a gathering today in Istanbul to talk about what we can do next. And he's been dropping hints about how it basically doesn't make sense to keep on doing the same thing and expecting to get a different result. Now, some people are interpreting that as perhaps he's hinting at a change within the party, within its leadership, and that's raising questions over the future of the current leader of the JHP, which is Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, and whether he can continue to lead this party given the failure that we saw yesterday. There's also a question mark about the opposition alliance, the so-called Table of Six. Now, they had a lot of disagreements before this election, and there is some question about whether this alliance can hold it together going forward. Well, clearly, there was a lot at stake for both sides in this election, as I explain in this report.
Recep Tayyip Erdoğan!
It's been one of the most important fights in a political career spanning three decades. A loss would have been the end of an era. A win would cement his legacy as one of the most powerful leaders in modern-day Turkey. Recep Tayyip Erdoğan told a gathering of supporters to have faith in the future.
We aren't the only winners of this election. The entire nation is. Turkey is the winner today. The victory belongs to everyone. It belongs to our democracy. The only losers are terrorist organizations plotting against Turkey. As for the responsibility bestowed upon us by our nation, there are no heartbreaks on our part. We aren't angry at anyone. Now it's time to leave all disputes behind and unite behind our national values and dreams.
The runoff vote was also a crucial moment for his rival. Backed by an alliance of six opposition parties, Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu had promised to fix the economy, restore the parliamentary system, and ensure greater freedoms. Opposition parties are wrapping their minds around what went wrong. They initially thought people would vote with their wallets, that a change of heart in earthquake-devastated areas would be to their advantage. But that didn't happen. Now they need to move past anger and frustration, and perhaps consider a complete reset of the fragile alliance they built for the election.
I couldn't let our nation fall into battle with another, and I didn't do that. I couldn't allow our nation to suffer from poverty and economic challenges. For your rights, I have always fought, and I will continue to do so. We will continue to fight for democracy, and I am asking you to join us in our effort.
For now, Erdoğan is celebrating. The man who's dominated Turkish politics this century faces a tough task ahead, reducing skyrocketing inflation, rebuilding entire cities, and improving strained relations with the West. The governing party and its allies have retained a parliamentary majority. That gives Erdoğan enough support to deliver on the promises he made during the election campaign.
And people rallied in the streets of Turkish neighbourhoods in Berlin to celebrate Erdoğan's third term in office. Germany is home to the largest Turkish diaspora. President Erdoğan has a strong voter base there. Let's cross over to Dominic Cain, who's in Berlin for us. It seems they were quite influential in terms of the final vote, Dominic.
Certainly, the electorate that can vote in Germany in Turkish elections is very considerable. More than 1.5 million people are eligible to vote in Turkish elections in this country. In the event, perhaps around just over half of them actually did vote. And two-thirds of them, more than two-thirds of those who voted, voted for President Erdoğan. And in this part of Berlin, from where I'm broadcasting right now, this is Kreuzberg, a part of the city with a large Turkish community. There were many people celebrating here on Sunday evening, as indeed in other areas of Berlin. But it is worth making the point that not everybody in this country who could vote did vote for the president or to re-elect the president. And that's reflected in some of the opinions that we've been gathering here on the streets of Berlin today.
I'm very happy with the election result because I think in the past 20 years, compared to the 80s and the 90s, a lot has changed for the better. Even though, of course, in the past 5 or 6 years, with inflation and the numbers of refugees, some things have changed for the worse.
It's crazy. I'm not happy. It's not a democracy anymore. There's no future for the Turkish people. But unfortunately, they don't understand that. I'm really annoyed with the Turkish people living here.
The official reaction to the result of the election here in Germany, well, Chancellor Scholz tweeted congratulations to President Erdogan and stressed the importance of the relationship between the two countries. Similar sentiments coming from other EU leaders, perhaps the most ringing endorsement, as it were, from Viktor Orbán from Hungary, saying this was an unquestionable victory for President Erdogan. But there are some voices in Germany who don't necessarily share that view. Certainly even within the cabinet of Olaf Scholz. Cem Özdemir, a German cabinet minister from the Green Party who has Turkish heritage, said seeing the scenes of jubilant Erdogan supporters in Berlin, to him, represented their rejection of Germany's pluralist democracy. And one final thought from an influential European member of parliament, member of the European Parliament, Manfred Weber, from the Bavarian Christian Social Union, saying effectively that the EU should now do away with any suggestion of accession talks with Turkey and try to have a more normal relationship with the Turks, Turkish government, that is, not acceding to the EU.
Dominic Kane in Berlin for us. Thank you. Well, still ahead here on Al Jazeera, Nigeria's new president, Bola Tinubu, is inaugurated in Abuja.
Now, the wet season's coming to an end in Indonesia, and fairly obviously the generated showers are a lot further north. I mean, the energy's in Typhoon Marwar, which is still in the open waters, but it's affecting Luzon and Taiwan by its outer band and its swell. But the same line of latitudes, this is where the heavy rain